This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. Andrew Perloff here in the New York studio. Maggie, for one more day at the home studio. All right, Maggie, we've gone 3 hours, and it's combine time. All the GMs, all the coaches are talking, and somehow, I don't even know how, the Dallas Cowboys got a jump on strange comments yesterday, and Stephen Jones said some things. Help us break it down. The Dallas Cowboys are already driving me crazy, and they haven't even had their official press conference yet.
Yeah, and I think all their fans are probably right there with you. Let's hear from Stephen Jones. He was asked by reporters in Indy yesterday. This was like an impromptu media session. It wasn't even at the podium. What the plan is for free agency?
We're going to look at everything we can. We're going to be selectively aggressive. We obviously, you know, there's things in this league you have to, you know, you have certain amount of resources they allow you to have. And, you know, we'll look at that, but we're going to try to improve our football team. Not try, we're going to improve our football team, and, you know, we expect to have success next year.
Okay, so that was Stephen Jones, and I know selectively aggressive is going to be the new all-in, and everyone's going to be wondering, what does this mean, and are they speaking in some kind of hieroglyphics here? You know, I'm actually going to defend the Cowboys on this one. This is exactly what Stephen Jones should say. And if it was Eric DaCosta of the Baltimore Ravens, no one would be saying anything. But because it's Dallas, it's just another reason to clown them. And I'm not saying that they haven't earned that. They don't deserve our skepticism. But why would the Dallas Cowboys, or any team for that matter, come out and tell the public, reporters, other teams, tip their hand on what their offseason free agent strategy is going to be? Like, this is something where I completely back Stephen Jones. He should absolutely hold this close to the vest and keep people guessing, because you don't want to go out there and say, we're going to spend like drunken sailors in this free agency, because you're going to drive the price up on A, your own free agents that you want to resign, or anyone else. And two, why give your competition any, you know, inkling of where you're headed in free agency? Like, if you're going to be ticked off at the Cowboys, be ticked off about the fact that they're probably not going to sign Micah Parsons until 2 days before the season starts, just like they did with Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb. That has always been the mistake that the Dallas Cowboys have made, which is waiting way too long to sign their own free agents when we all know this is inevitable. But this comment and being like, you know, being cryptic about their free agency, that's fine to me.
Well, the reason you talk to the press is to communicate to your fans, and they're losing fans in droves. Last year at Oxnard, where they do their training camp, apparently there was no one there. And I think fans are getting really frustrated. So I think the reason you would not say this is to communicate to your fans, saying, you know, say we're, last year Jerry said we're all in, because everyone's like, are you going to get some help for CeeDee Lamb? And of course they did the exact opposite. They went all out. They signed Eric Kendricks, a middle linebacker. Their first signing was a long snapper. So, and they decided, you know what? $8 million for Derrick Henry is too rich for our blood. So I do think you owe your fans an explanation that, hey, we're going to be serious. We're going to be a serious NFL team this year. Don't you want to hear that as a Cowboys fan?
Well, but I don't also want to be set up for a big disappointment, you know?
Like last year.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't want if my paying customers say, hey, you promised me this and never delivered on that. And, you know, I think, again, I think you can you can hide this one or you can chalk this one up to, this is not the time to be telling everybody in the world what our plan is, right? This is not the time to be saying, hey, we're behind the scenes. We're working really hard to get Myles Garrett. I mean, how honest do you want them to be? It is a business. And so for this one, I think that, again, if this was John Lynch who was saying it, no one would care. But again, maybe John Lynch has earned the benefit of fans being patient, whereas the Jones family has not. And here's the other thing about the Jones family, Pearl. You're saying that they're losing fans in droves. They still lead the NFL in attendance. We know how high the TV ratings are. They are willing to call everybody's bluff when it comes to, saying you're jumping off the Cowboys bandwagon. I know our pal Big Dave has said he's no longer following the team. The Cowboys will call your bluff and say, you know what? You'll be back. You can't quit us. And they are willing to play around with their fan base. Hell, they've been doing it for 20 years.
But doesn't this feel like business as usual for the Cowboys to say something like that? It feels like a repeat of last year, kind of cryptic, weird statements. So that means if I'm a fan, I'm saying, oh, okay, the Cowboys are going to do the same set of mistakes they did last year where they, you know, right now the Cowboys think they're a draft and develop O-line team. Like they can just keep drafting offensive linemen. And that strategy did work at one point. But it's not going to work anymore. They have major problems. Number one, their quarterback is old and injury-prone as taking up all their cap space. Number two, it's been 3 years where they cannot get a number two wide receiver. Makes them so easy to defend. Number three, their offensive line turned out to be young and then injured. And number four, by the way, their schedule's impossible next year. They get the Chiefs, Chargers, and Broncos, and a tough NFC schedule. Like, this is all looking bad for Dallas. Manny is celebrating on the other side of the glass. You can't see it right now, Maggie, because he's a Giants fan. He thinks the Cowboys are headed down the tube right now. So I think you're right. It's from a strategy standpoint, there's no reason for Stephen Jones to say that we're going to be aggressive. But I do think, like, if you're a Cowboys fan, you're like, ah, great. Another summer of kind of hot garbage team building.
This is glorious.
Burloff, they just hired Brian Schottenheimer.
Yeah,
I mean, what do you think? Like, how much more do you need to telegraph to you that this may not be the big offseason for the Dallas Cowboys?
Then what are they doing here? Why aren't they at least trying to build around? Like, honestly, did they really think Brandon Cooks was going to be the number two there? Because, yeah, maybe 5 years ago, the problems are so obvious, Maggie. I can't believe some of the things they've done.
Yeah, well, they'll tell you, we drafted Jalen Tolbert, and we thought that he was going to develop, or this, that, and the other. I mean, they'll have an excuse for everything. And I actually do think one other thing Stephen Jones said, because I don't want to make excuses for last year, but boy, we did have a lot of injuries. That's fair. Like, well, that's valid. You can bang the Cowboys and say, well, your depth was really crappy, and, you know, you shouldn't, you know, you should be able to still hold the fort and be a fringe playoff team, even with those injuries, but... I mean, he's not wrong about that. Now I sound like a Cowboys apologist.
They lost.
I just think
they got killed by the Saints, Maggie, when Dak was healthy. They got demolished. I mean, like,
I know.
They were not good before Dak got hurt.
But Micah
either.
Parsons wasn't there for those games, you know? Like, they could say that there were injuries on both sides of the ball. You can point to one specific win or loss and have an issue with it. I just think the Cowboys have been telling you who they are for a while. And,
well, they,
you know, I've told you I don't think winning is the thing. And I got cream for this. And I said, I don't think Jerry Jones really cares about winning. He cares about you thinking he wants to win. He cares about dangling a carrot in front of you and hoping that you'll keep hope alive. And every once in a while, you know, they'll have these 12-win seasons and they'll get you back up and they will inevitably lose to a better team. So, like, I don't know what to tell you, but as far as like being upset about Stephen Jones saying we're going to be selectively aggressive in free agency, if any one of the other 29 owner kids said this, I think people would just say, yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds like a wise thing to say.
Well, I mean, here's the thing. They had 3 years of 12-5. They think that's second or third best record over that 3 year span. It feels they're so much more likely to be 5-12 right now. So I think the drop is dramatic. It's not same old Cowboys. Like, they're in danger of really falling apart. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but you're right. They look better when the defense looked better when Parsons came back at the end of the year or the second half of the season. But I think they're in real danger of not being a good team. Like, you could say, like, they didn't care about winning, but at least, like, They were really good for that brief span where Dak was healthy and CeeDee Lamb came into his own and Parsons was great and DeMarcus Lawrence was still there. Like, that's going to, they're going to pine for those days unless they really, I think they need to take decisive action, not selectively aggressive. I want to hear Stephen Jones say, we are going to be decisive this offseason, because it doesn't feel like that's what they're doing. It feels like they're kind of in a bit of a daze where they're just sort of sleepwalking through this portion of the franchise. Like, even like good, if they were 12-5 this year and lost to the first round of the playoffs, I'd be like, that was a great year for the Cowboys, because I don't know how they're going to do that, Maggie, especially with the Eagles looking really good and the Commanders are now good. Now that the Commanders are good, like, I don't see 12-5 coming anytime soon.
Well, I think a lot of this stuff is self-inflicted. You're kind of right to question sort of this era of Cowboys football, which is like Jerry post-80, and not to be ageist about it, but like Jerry post-80 still insisting on having a say in what's going on, and this sort of end-ish of the Dak Prescott era, which they're treating like the end of Kobe Bryant, where he's getting these, you know, like, thanks for the memories, huge contracts.
Well, I wonder if... 31, though, Maggie. He's not... the end of his career.
Okay, well, and I understand that they gave him this contract before he had yet another lower body injury. That's going to probably, I don't think that's going to make things better for Dak Prescott. But, you know, this is the funniest part about this to me with the Cowboys, is that Jerry Jones and Steven or whatever, they can claim to be these incredible business people. And I think they are. I mean, Jerry bought the Cowboys for how much and has turned them into, what, $10 billion business? Like, if you were just looking at the balance sheet, they are phenomenal business people. Yet when it comes to negotiating some of the contracts with their own players, it's like they are asking to be had. Dak Prescott has gotten over on them like three different times because of their own inability to read the room. You know, mate, could you have gotten CeeDee Lamb any cheaper? Could you have gotten Micah Parsons any cheaper? And Micah's even saying, I'll take less, you know, as long as you're aggressive in free agency. And you know what's going to happen. They're going to wait this Micah Parsons thing out until the last possible second. And Jerry's going to talk about leaves falling off the trees and all of this folksy stuff that's going to end up being a hamper to their bottom line and to their cap. And it's all just silly. It's just funny to me that they can be these incredible business people and yet fumble so often, pun intended, when they're dealing with their own players.
Wait, I'm not sure I totally agree with that. So you're saying his evaluation of the Cowboys has gone up so much that proves Jerry's an incredible business person? Does that mean Woody Johnson's an incredible business person and Shad Khan's an incredible? Because every team's value has gone up by, and some teams have gone up even more precise. So every NFL team's worth billions upon billions. That doesn't make them all great businessmen.
No, I think I'm talking more specifically about some of the things that Jerry's done, where he had to take on the league to get their own soda sponsors, on the league as far as, like, you know, some gambling stuff, too, I think they were at the forefront of. And so I think it's just beyond of being in a rising tide that lifts all boats. I really do think Jerry, give him credit, I think he has blazed some paths that the Cowboys took advantage of that now the rest of the league takes advantage of.
Okay, but, and Steven, by the way, I don't know that he's proven much business acumen. I mean, he's the son of the owner. Anyway, but besides that point, I'm not sure. I do disagree. Like, CD probably got what he deserved. He came in at $34 million, and Jefferson was at $35 million. He was going to be in that range. And the truth is, they weren't the only team that got a little screwed by it. The quarterback market went bananas last year. I think, like, yes, they probably could have gotten in, like, around 52 to start. But then they weren't the only team. It's like, oh my God, who is it? There was like Goff got $50 million or one of those quarterbacks, and everybody's like, oh crap, I have to pay my guy $55 million too. So a lot of teams are getting, like, they're not that far off market for these guys. And Parsons is going to be the highest paid defensive end. Like, there's nothing they can do about that. He deserves to be. So I'm not sure, like, how much are they really, like, if they were smarter businessmen, the end of the day, Parsons is up, Maggie. Like, is there a way out here? You think there's a smarter way to deal with this?
The only way they get bailed out with Parsons is if he plays ball with them and will take less. You absolutely could have gotten Dak Prescott cheaper if you had just done the deal a year before. Maybe another $10
million? Yeah, but you saved on that 1 year. You saved $23 million on that 1 year and the total of it. Yeah, I mean, maybe. But then again, like, honestly, the reality is they probably shouldn't have done any deal with Dak. I mean, seeing that injury coming up, they probably should have said, let's start over.
Well, and that's the other thing. They've never put anyone behind him. You know, it was Dak always kind of had them over a barrel because what was the question we always asked? If you don't re-sign Dak Prescott, who's playing quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys? And don't, and spare me the Trey Lance. Like, you know, that was a pipe dream, I think. And so they never actually really addressed, you know, any type of backup quarterback situation, even after Dak had that devastating leg injury. I believe that was in 2019 or whatever, and Andy Dalton came in. So if that wasn't writing on the wall, say, hey, this guy could have a shelf life here, then I don't know what is.
Well, right. I mean, it'd be, honestly, instead of having like a backup developmental guy, like a, say, took a, you know, they actually did say we want to draft a, like a Will Howard in the fourth round this year. That many teams have said that. I think like they might need to start over. Like maybe it's time to rip the Band-Aid and actually rebuild. Think about it. Zach Martin's gone. A lot of the old guys, like they haven't had their full rebuild. Is it time? Could you make an argument, Maggie, that they should just like stop paying everyone, let everyone walk, and just start over again, fresh, maybe with like a new GM?
Well, good luck with that. How schizophrenic would that feel? I mean, you're all in paying at the top of the market for your quarterback, your wide receiver, yeah, and soon your pass rusher, and you're going to be like, nope, you know what? Screw it. We're actually going to rebuild here. It makes no sense. Now, if you want to trade Micah Parsons and you want to talk about something really drastic, well, now we're swimming in the deep end. But if you, that's a big, big decision, and I don't think the Cowboys like doing – I don't think they'll do something like that.
I believe they signed Dak to a four-year deal, right? And I think – like, I know the dead cap would be crazy, but they gotta start to think about that. That end of that contract's coming soon. Like, they're going to be looking at quarterback. Honestly, like, I hate to say this, the best thing for them would be to tank and get a new, you know, get into Arch sweepstakes or get into, like, the Nico sweepstakes or something. Like, I think, unfortunately, like, a rebuild is coming. That great O-line of the past, unless they can recreate it with these young guys, Maggie, like, Zach Martin and Tyron Smith, like, those guys are gone. Like, the really good Dak teams might be over. So, unfortunately, they might rebuild. That being said, watch them go 12-5 with Brian Schottenheimer because I didn't see that first 12-5 run coming either.
To steal a line from Chevy Chase, I could wake up with my head sewn to the carpet, and I wouldn't be more surprised than that. If the Dallas Cowboys can somehow pull off a 12-win season this year, that would be an all-timer. 855-212-4227. All right, let us know what you think. Selectively aggressive. What does that mean? Do you speak fluent Jones, Stephen, or Jerry? And as a Cowboy fan, is that just falling flat, or do you understand maybe what the team is about? 855-212-4227. So much more to do, including we've got to get to one of the biggest stories heading into the combine and what we need clarity on while the entire league is assembled in Indianapolis. Get to that in just a moment. Maggie and Perloff.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back on Maggie and Perloff, NFL Scouting Combine begins today with the interviews, most of the interviews, of general managers and coaches. One of them will be Cleveland's Andrew Berry at 1 p.m. That's going to be interesting. A lot to learn at the NFL Scouting Combine. Maggie, what are you looking forward to most storyline-wise out of Indy?
Okay, so actually it has nothing to do with any of the draft eligible guys who are going to be, in their underwear doing all these drills and stuff. To me, it's what's going to be the rumor and what's going to be the gossip about Matthew Stafford, about Myles Garrett. I actually think more than any rookie in this draft, and I'll include Cam Ward and Abdul Carter and all of them, the people who can actually change the fortunes of the upcoming NFL season could be Matthew Stafford and or Myles Garrett if they're on the right teams. So if you're asking me the biggest thing, it's, you know, what are the agents for both of those guys doing in terms of getting new teams, new deals, if that's to be done for the upcoming year? That's the biggest thing to me, no doubt. What about you?
I actually like this Travis Hunter storyline. Now, we don't know yet. As far as I was just looking up, we don't know if he's going to work out with the receivers, the cornerbacks, both or neither. He obviously has enough on tape where he doesn't have to do any workouts. We all know he's awesome. He just won the Heisman Trophy. But he is going to speak, so he'll do his press conference. And I'm curious, is his plan to play full-time wide receiver and full-time cornerback? Is he going to say, don't draft me if you don't want to play me a wide receiver? I am very curious about his stance. And, you know, you get a little Deion mix in there, too, because Deion is sort of a surrogate parent to him as well. So I'm dying to know what he does here. And I would love to, if he ran the 40, oh, he would be so fast. And if he did those wide receiver options where you get they throw a million balls at you, you catch it and drop it real quick, I would love to see Travis Hunter work out.
It'd be impressive. You know, that's funny. It's a great point because, you know, I'm so convinced, because partly because Deion has said it, that he'll get involved when it comes to Shador. But Deion also said he'll get involved when it comes to Travis Hunter, who's, he said, like a son to him.
Literally.
So, yeah, I'm actually curious, like, if it's the Cleveland Browns or the Jets or a team that has, like, a bad reputation right now, would Deion get involved and say, I don't want Travis going there either? I'm curious about that.
Well, yeah, I mean, listen. Probably it's going to be Cam Ward, number one, to the Titans. But the Titans did have that line about not passing on a generational talent. And Travis Hunter might be a generational talent. You know, I always think of Deion's draft. And I'm sorry, I don't have it in front of me. Was it 89 or 88 when Deion went number 4? And you're like, how can you let Deion Sanders fall to number 4? But the guys ahead of him were Troy Aikman, Barry Sanders. So that one made sense. But imagine the chance to draft another Deion Sanders. And for you youngins who don't remember what Deion was like, I know he got distracted by baseball, but he's the best cornerback I've ever seen, because you didn't want to throw the ball downfield, because if, God forbid, he got an interception, he was going to be impossible to tackle afterwards, take it to the house, and just affected the game in so many different ways. I think Travis Hunter might be that guy, Maggie.
Yeah, but also Deion on the offensive side, it was pretty limited. You know, he wasn't playing anywhere near both ways full time. I think it's a total pipe dream for Travis to want that. And also, I know he's a very talented guy and he's coming off a great season in the Heisman and he's so unique. I don't know if he can go to an NFL team and start demanding stuff.
Well,
I don't think he can go to the New England Patriots and be like, you better play me both ways. They'd be like, what? No way.
Yeah. Well, one thing about Deion, though, also had baseball. Like, I think Travis Hunter's going to have more time to play, learn wide receiver. And also, I think he's already played it. So, like, Deion did not have that background. Deion did have 9 return touchdowns as well as a punt returner. It was a punt and kickoff returner. So it wasn't just the cornerback stuff. And I got to tell you, I saw Hunter walking around the Super Bowl set. Shador Sanders was doing a podcast about 4 booths down from us, which is crazy in itself. Shador with an S with 2 lines through it, like a dollar sign, whatever. Travis Hunter walked by, and this is so stupid. This is the dumbest guy. I'm like, that guy just looks absolutely different than everybody else. Like, his muscles had muscles. He looks like he's going to be incredible, Maggie. I think if anybody could do it, he could do it. And you know why I say that? Because no one ever did it in college either. And he absolutely did it. So, I don't know. I think he might be superhuman.
I don't know. He got hurt 2 years ago, Pro. Missed games. I mean, and he got banged up last year, too, and played through it. I disagree. Yeah, impressive-looking dude, no doubt, but aren't a lot of guys are who are at that level. I wouldn't be able. I would protect my investment if I'm drafting him, if I'm the Giants or I'm the Patriots or whoever is going to take him. I gotta see what I have here, and I need him at corner probably more than I need him at wide receiver, and I want to make sure he's healthy to play defense for me. At least this would be my thoughts as the GM. I need him to be healthy and try to be a lockdown corner, which is a hard position to learn in the NFL. I need him to be a lockdown corner for me before I need any of the gimmick stuff on offense.
Well, I disagree with one thing. There are not a lot of guys like Travis Hunter, in my opinion. I think he's a unique athlete. It's kind of like when Randy Moss came in the NFL, or Barry Sanders, or Jahmyr Gibbs. Like, there are some guys who just are more electric than other guys, and I think Hunter is way different. Is it that hard to play cornerback? The Eagles drafted 2 guys who learned it on the fly and were awesome this year. I mean, honestly, you're not disappointed as a fan if Travis Hunter is just a shutdown corner. You're never even going to see him. Like, what are the highlights going to be? We need way more.
That's what you need. I don't know what his team needs.
Well, if you're going to draft him, you're not drafting, even Quinyon Mitchell was awesome. Like, you're not drafting him at number 2. Like, I think if you're a team with a million needs, you're going to want somebody who does a little more. I mean, even Abdul Carter, who the pass rusher out of Penn State, like, that disrupts a lot of things. I just think that's a little rich for a cornerback. So, I mean, there have been a few guys that have gone that high. But I think to take Travis Hunter just as a shutdown corner, would you really invest a number 2 pick if you're the Cleveland Browns?
You know, can I put my diabolical NFL hat on for a second? And if I'm a GM and I'm just thinking about this from my pure, cold, blackened heart, which I feel like a lot of front offices have, I don't know how much I want to play him at receiver, because if he comes to me come contract time and is like, I'm your best corner and I'm your best receiver, I want you to pay me like both.
Yeah, I mean, that could definitely be a thing. But again, like, look at the teams that might draft him. I mean, the Titans, you add a shutdown corner to the Titans, they go from 3 wins to 5 wins. Like, you have so many holes. How about a guy who can fill 2 different holes? Manny, grow up. Jesus. I lost his side of the class.
Yeah. We're all thinking it. It sounded weird. Bogus is here with headlines. Sure. You're telling me you watched Anora recently and you weren't thinking that.
I got to see this movie. Oh, my God.
Yeah, you do.
Is it R? What is going on?
It's NC-17.
Do you know it's the betting favorite to win the Oscar?
You said that yesterday, I know.
Yeah. Maggie, like, and you was like, there's no way this is an Oscar movie.
I guess sometimes, like, I think I have a little bit of a high bar, but tell me if you guys think this about Oscar movies. Aren't they kind of movies, if you're best picture, that you want to watch like over and over again?
I don't know.
Like, even ones that are sad, like Saving Private Ryan and stuff like that. I know people like to watch that movie multiple times. Manny is one of them. Like, would you ever, Bogus, you and I have both seen this movie, Anora. Is there any reason why you would ever watch that a second time?
I mean, there are reasons, but no, I would not watch it again. But no, I get your point. And I am, now I think there are also people, just regardless of the movie, there are people who will watch things more than once and people who will just not. Like, my wife does not rewatch anything. I've rewatched TV shows multiple times. I can watch a movie 18 times, but specifically, not because it was that bad, I just don't think it was that good.
By the way, the movie of the year, I'm sure, like, the last several movies of the year, you have not watched multiple times. They're all kind of sad or whatever. Like, they're not They're not real, like Nomadland, I think, one. Like, are you going to stare in on Saturday afternoon and be like, no, man, also, I got to pop that bad boy on?
But that was part of the Oscar complaints. They were picking such, like, artsy movies.
Yeah,
they were a mass appeal. That's why they changed, I think, the criteria, and they started, like, including more
nominees, kind of like, but the winners are still right. Kind of artsy. And Anora fits, like, kind of artsy, not watch again. Like, I mean.
I get why critics like Anora. I get why, like, movie people like Anora. And it's a
Wait, Manny,
movie.
Why are you laughing so hard? What is so funny?
I might have just maybe cut what Perloff said not too long ago.
Oh.
All right, good. We'll look forward to resurfacing that one.
By the way, here's the movies that have won recently. Oppenheimer, I am not as big an Oppenheimer fan as everyone else was. I thought it was good.
But I'd watch that movie again.
Probably. Everything, Everywhere, All at Once. That was pretty fun.
Yes. Yeah.
Coda. Do you have to watch that multiple times?
I mean, I wouldn't turn it off if it came on, but I'm not going to seek it out.
Nomadland.
Get a good cry. Get a good cry at Coda.
Nomadland.
I don't remember anything about that movie.
That's where Frances McDormand was in a van. Trust me, we're not watching it.
No thanks. I saw that. Okay. I remember now.
Parasite was great, but it's kind of painful. Green Book.
Oh,
no
that's a good movie.
There's no way you're watching Green Book again. There's no way you're watching Shape of Water again. There's no way.
No.
Tell me you're watching Moonlight more than once. Not why would you put yourself through that?
That's
a lot of these
cry
are just
too.
tough.
What about La La Land? You watched La La Land a couple times, right?
Yeah, but it didn't win, remember?
Oh, right.
Yeah.
They said La La Land, but it was actually Moonlight. My bad.
Yeah, there's a lot of 12, a lot of them are heavy, like 12 Years a Slave, great movie, but it's not a so Anora kind of fits like that critical darling. If you want to do the popular one, it's a Dylan movie, right?
Yes,
that
or
one,
Wicked.
I mean, Wicked's not going to win. I haven't seen Wicked, but...
Wicked is not going to win, but it's a very good movie.
Right. Like, the rewatchability. So I don't think the fun movie's ever going to win, Maggie. I think Anora has a great chance. Or the other one is Brutalist with Adrian Brody. Like, come on. You're going to watch that twice? 3.5 hours long? Maybe
no
if
shot.
You're hospitalized and you can't change a channel.
It's like, oh no, I got stuck on the independent film channel. It's like, what is coming up next?
The batteries don't work in your remote. That's the only way you're watching that twice or once for that matter.
Bogish, what's going on in the world today?
Maybe you guys have seen these crazy videos and pictures. The Indiana University Indianapolis men's basketball team returning home Sunday from a game in Northern Kentucky when their bus broke down. Within minutes of pulling over to check the problem, a fire started in the bus, eventually engulfing and burning the entire thing to a crisp. Now, thankfully, everybody got off the bus safely, but they lost almost everything. Luggage, cell phones, uniforms, equipment. There are various kind of GoFundMes set up right now to help them kind of recover from this quickly. But if you guys haven't seen the video, this bus is cooked. I don't know what could have caused it, but it was like apparently instantaneous. Fire spread. And maybe like a mini explosion too. And there's only like the front of the bus and then the frame of the back like 95%. It's crazy.
Yikes. I'm Googling it now.
Thank God everybody got off as fast as they did.
Oof.
I know. If this happened so quickly, yes, thank God everyone got off. How did they even know that it was that like acute of an emergency? Like did something start smoking or what happened that they knew, oh my gosh, leave everything and just get off the bus right now?
So Jeff Goodman had a series of tweets yesterday who covers college basketball talking to their coach. And I guess what happened was clearly there was a problem with the bus. They pulled over. The bus driver and one of the staff members got off to see what was going on. And as they got off the bus, there were flames in the back of the bus. So everybody got up, and luckily they were not trapped by where the fire was, so they got up and they got off. So it all happened apparently very, very fast, and it got very out of hand very quickly.
Man, thankfully everyone's all right. This is not exactly the glamorous life of college basketball, right?
No, this is tough. Again, I'm glad, you know, as somebody whose kids go on a school bus every day, like now I'm freaked out, but...
Yeah, and I've been on broken down buses between college games, and you have to wait for the other new bus to come get you, which can be bad. But at least you were like safely on the broken down bus, not having to they had to like run from the explosion.
Also, how cold was it outside? Were they able to get their coats and jackets? I mean,
so I guess
Northern Kentucky and Indianapolis, it's not exactly warm there now.
No, it was not, I don't think. And like that's all they basically had. Whatever they had at their seat, if they thought to take it with them, that's what the guys have.
Man,
I have to ask, because I pretended that I knew what you were talking about. What is IU Indianapolis exactly?
So I meant to look it up, and then I forgot because I'm a professional. I believe that is a school that had a different name until
recently.
Yeah, what
was it before? Because I've never heard of this name.
IUPUI? I think it is.
Oh, it is. Okay, it's IUPUI. Okay.
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, but IUPUI is Indiana of Pennsylvania,
not
Indianapolis.
Indiana, Purdue.
University of Purdue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Whatever it was, I believe this is a new name for a school that we already knew. This is not a new school.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a. It's just a rebranded school that we already knew.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought IUPUI was in Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
no.
I thought there was something that you was. Well, Oakland's in Michigan. I know that. There's help you out with that.
There's a St. Francis, PA as well, if I'm not mistaken. But IUPUI is now known as Indiana University. Indianapolis.
Got it. Well, we are going to have to get to know this stuff as March Madness comes along.
No, not them. They're 9-20. They dare not be, unless they win the Horizon, steal a bid. They are
not. Hey, the NIT, you know?
Is it still a thing?
It's a thing, but it's a different format. It is not for schools that are Indianapolis, Indiana, Purdue, Indianapolis, Jackals. The NIT is all about
Jaguars.
Like, the leftover big boys.
Jaguars,
can I tell you the team that we're going to have to get to know, guys, for in terms of like a university that I had actually never heard of before? High Point. Have you heard about High Point?
The Rockers?
They're 25-5.
Is that good?
Do you have any idea where this place
is? California? Is that North Carolina?
North Carolina.
North Carolina. Yeah. You guys are right. I was looking it up the other day, like, you know, The Panthers, we got to get on board because they are clearly an amazing team. Rack up 25 wins. They're going to have to win their conference. And then I think High Point could be the next Oakland, something like that.
Yeah. I feel like we know somebody who went to High Point. Anyway, we're going to have to get to know a lot of these. Now, Manny, on the other side of the glass, is an expert on arenas. Manny, are you an expert on what state this small school is in?
Which one?
Like, Jacksonville State, do you know where that is? That kind of
stuff? That's in Alabama, if I'm not mistaken.
All right. Yeah. That's like a big game we do every year. Where is the school?
Is this like a real school?
Is this a real school? What city is it in? It's tough, right, Maggie? It sounds easy, but you can always get somebody on one of them, right?
I'm game.
Yeah, that Jacksonville one is real. Will really mess with your mind. The fact that that's not in Florida is a doozy.
Yeah, and there's always St. Francis and Xavier and all these schools from all over the place that have the same
name. Many Loyolas.
Yeah,
multiple Loyolas.
I for a second thought Creighton was in Milwaukee yesterday.
Yeah.
You did.
That was a rough time.
Some scores from last night. Men's number 4, Houston, a 69-61 win at number 10, Texas Tech. That clinches them at least a share of the Big 12 regular season title. Texas number 1 in the women's poll for the first time in 21 years. The Longhorns celebrating with a 57-26 win at Georgia last night. The Bulldogs shot just 11 for 36, committed 25 turnovers. In the NBA, the Thunder led the T-Wolves by 25 in the third, by 22 entering the fourth, but lost at home in OT, 131-128. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, 39 points, 10 rebounds, 8 helpers, but it wasn't enough.
I think we didn't have a problem doing that. Like, it didn't get away from us. We didn't unravel. Just some unlucky bounces, unlucky plays. They made shots, we missed shots. But that's a game of basketball, and that's why you try to control the things that you can't control. And when you don't, you leave it up to chance, you leave it up to luck, and you leave it up to things like that. And we did that tonight.
The T-Wolves got 27 from Jaden McDaniels, 17 points, 13 boards from Anthony Edwards. Zach LaVine, a season-high 42. As the Kings thumped the Hornets, 130-88. The Heat lost in Atlanta, 96-86. Miami has just one win since trading Jimmy Butler. The Sixers got a Norwood by the Bulls, 142-110.
Oh, wow.
Joel Embiid did not play as he undergoes another round of tests on his unimproving left knee, but head coach Nick Nurse dismissing questions about shutting down Embiid for the rest of the season. The much younger and better version of myself, Quinn Ewers, is expected to throw at the combine in the coming days. Cam Ward still making up his mind. As we know, Shedeur Sanders waiting until Colorado's pro day to work out for scouts. And finally, sit back and enjoy the end of Jets Sharks.
Seifert his forehand. He didn't like the read and curls away again. Now he'll drop it for Nikolai Ehlers. Shooting, stop, rebound, they score! Mark Scheifele, it's goal number 329. A Winnipeg Jets franchise record. The team's first ever draft pick is now first overall in goal scoring. And it's a game winner for Scheifele. 2-1, the final score in overtime tonight.
Wow. A lot happening in Winnipeg last night. 2-1 win over the Sharks. It extends their winning streak to 10. And congrats to Mark Scheifele for being number one in Winnipeg history in goals scored.
Quick story. I was cleaning up my desktop the other day. You guys ever do this where you have a bunch of documents and you're putting the folders? I had this random little image, and I'm like, what is this? I couldn't really see. Clicked on it. It's a side-by-side of Andrew Bogut and Quinn Ewers. And it's crazy how much you two look alike. I had Cap create it. And I'm telling you, if you're not watching on YouTube, Infinity Sports Radio Network, watch Andrew Bogut. You're basically seeing Quinn Ewers.
Yeah, I'm also going to throw this week in Indianapolis. They have not accepted my invitation, but I'm prepared to throw.
Great.
Where, the parking lot?
Wherever.
I mean, this is post-haircut Quinn Ewers, obviously. When he had the mullet, you guys looked nothing alike.
Right.
But now you have pretty much the same haircut, same shape face.
Yeah,
Maggie, you didn't see it quite as much as I did. I also think the essence of Quinn Ewers and the essence of Andrew Bogut are similar.
Thank you.
Well, now if we're going to talk about vibes, well, I don't know. But here's the funny thing, right? So Quinn Ewers is, what, 23, 24 years old?
Hmm.
Something like that?
Yeah.
I don't think he's quite that old, is he?
Okay, sorry, 22? Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Like, if you're 22, so today is Andrew Bogut's birthday, so we say happy birthday again. How old are you today, Bogut?
45. Which, by the way, just for the record, I am not the oldest person on the show. Okay, 45 does not make me number one.
Quinn Ewers turns 22 years old next month.
Okay.
Okay, so, and you guys are around maybe the same, you're born around the same time. So maybe you have similar vibes, similar sign, whatever, if you're into that stuff. But if you're 22 years old, would you like to see a picture of yourself of what you're going to look like at 45?
Hell no.
I know a lot of us probably just look like our parents, but would you have wanted to see that? Like, hey, happy 22nd birthday. This is what you're going to look at 45.
If I look like Bogut, I wouldn't.
Honestly, like, they look alike now. Like, I don't even think it's like an age photo.
Okay, ask yourself now.
Look pretty much the same. Like, I think Quinn Ewers would be like, I'm going to look the same in 20 years as I do right now.
Bogues, if I could give you, do you want to know today if I could show you a picture of what you were going to look like at 65? Today's your 45th birthday. I could give you 65. Do you want to see it?
I think a more emphatic yes for this than your original question. I don't think I wanted to see old me at 22, but at this point, I don't care. As long as I have a picture at 65, that's all I care about.
Still in the game.
Exactly.
You're going to still be in the game.
Still providing updates.
I just want to be awake at 65.
You act like 65's old, dude. Pete Carroll's 73. He's coaching the Raiders, and it's like they're in a rebuild.
Oh, no, 65's not old. It's just too young to not be in the game anymore. That's my concern.
That's very true. Yeah. I'd love to see it. If you could tell me exactly what it looked like at 65, I think it would be great. Take a little of the anxiety away.
What if it's not a good picture, though? I mean, it's a double-edged sword.
Then I can change it, right?
No, you can't change it.
Then I can change my future.
No, but then things just start to disappear. Have you not seen Back to the Future, Maggie?
Wait, Maggie, don't you
erased out of a phone?
I look exactly like my dad, so I know exactly what I'm going to look like. Don't you look like your parents?
Like, oh, my God, I look exactly like my mom, so thank God.
And your mom.
I'm going to be in good shape.
Your mom looks great.
Oh, Mr. Great catching strays.
Oof.
Wait, is Pam hot, too, on top of making good cookies?
Mm. She's a catch.
I don't want to touch this conversation.
Did you hear the groan, Perloff?
I'm just saying, we're going to get into this.
Listen,
I think those biscottis are hot.
When anyone says I look like my mom, I always say, thank you. Thank you very much. I'm happy. The other thing is I look like my brother, too, which is a little bit of a different story. But anyway.
Your brother was in studio. You don't look identical to your brother.
You look related, though. I've seen a picture.
You look related. You really do. Like, you kind of look like your mom.
Yeah. Well, my brother looks exactly like Jimmy Fallon. No,
you're going to do great at 65. You're totally fine, Mac.
Nice.
You're going to do great.
Wait.
What does that mean?
Yeah. Well, Bogut is just like, I want to be awake.
Is she back on the market?
She's not going to be tired.
But Maggie said she was worried about what she was going to look like when she was older. Wouldn't you want to know to get the anxiety to go away? You have nothing to be anxious about. You're going to look totally
out
fine.
Out there strutting around the pickleball courts. Everyone's going to be like, who's that? Fox. Bogues, again, happy birthday. Sorry I couldn't be there in studio, but hope it's a great celebration tonight, and hope they haven't changed the locks on your house after what you said about Kate Upton earlier.
I did a wellness check. We're good. No one was listening.
Okay, coming up, we have the one thing that you have to be watching for tonight. Tonight, must. We'll do that next. Welcome back. Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Hopefully today, the last day that I'll be at the home offices as I get over this cold that has just been awful. Perloff, though, I got to stay up late tonight because there's one must-watch thing on the sports calendar, and that is Luka Doncic and the Lakers welcoming in the Dallas Mavericks. This would be a little better in Dallas because I'd be very curious about the reception he'd get from the home crowd, which I'm assuming is going to be a standing ovation, because the home team, the Mavs fans, never wanted this. You know, they were completely blindsided and completely knocked off their spots because they traded the franchise, the face of the franchise. But this is no doubt going to be something. We can check Prize Picks for this one, but I believe Luka's points is set at 30.5. Something like that. I think he's going to blow through that tonight. I think they're going to try to make a statement. Luka's coming off the big win against the Denver Nuggets in Denver. I'm expecting him to be all over the place tonight.
Well, I wonder though, Maggie, you know, sometimes there's so much. Is he putting a little pressure on himself there? Or like sometimes you're overhyped for the game. You know, Luka can throw out a 1-for-10 from three. So will the threes go in? That's the thing with Luka. They went in against Denver. He was 4-for-9. And they blew him out. But he was 1-for-9 and 1-for-10 the two games before that. So I wouldn't bet the house on that over 30.5. And the other thing is, like, are they going to need him after the second quarter? It's going to be such a blowout.
Yeah, I know the Mavs obviously are reeling with all their injuries, and Anthony Davis is still out. Okay, so here it is on Prize Picks. Luka Doncic, it's not points. It's points, rebounds, and assists. And the number is 48.5. I'm going more than.
Yeah, unless it's, I think you do have to think about, wow, what if this is a blowout? Let me ask you this question. We're, a week and a half in or 2 weeks in? Is it the worst trade in NBA history? I don't even think there's a doubt. It is the single worst trade that's ever happened because it was supposed to be a short-term play for the Mavs, and the short-term is just disastrous. So I can't imagine that this has any chance except pure failure.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely in the running. I would say one of the other terrible trades was the Brooklyn Nets trade with the Boston Celtics that basically handed the Celtics what ended up being Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. I mean, those were horrible, and obviously those KG, Paul Pierce Nets teams never did anything. But yeah, of course it is. And the only way that it was going to work, Pearl, at work, air quotes, that it was going to be defensible, I think, for the Mavs, is if somehow Luka, you know, basically did his next appearance on My 500-Pound Life. Like, there's no... that you had to expect his body to break down, like, in real time, as opposed to, worried he won't stay in good condition for the future.
Well, the one thing I will say, I think it could have worked out for the Mavs if Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis got to the finals this year. Like, I think they needed short-term success because they traded for a 31-year-old injury-prone big man. Like, you needed that guy to get on the court and win you basketball games immediately. And now that's not happening.
Think how steep of odds that would have been in the first place. Like, you're going to pair together a new teammates mid-season and expect them to go win the title?
Well, I mean, Davis did look pretty good in that game before he got hurt, though. I know. Well, now you're expecting Luka and LeBron to do it. All right. Maggie, feel better. Hopefully we'll see you in person tomorrow. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Ray Jarvis, Andrew Kaplan, Manny, Maggie. See you guys tomorrow.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry and get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.